Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Acts chapter 4. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But this was written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I can't tell you how long I've desired to say that after the gospel reading, and I feared that y'all, when you were at home, were probably not standing up for the gospel on Zoom. Just a guess. So it's wonderful to be able to say, "Please be seated," after the reading. I've been thinking about Luther's explanation of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread." Luther writes that daily bread is everything included in the necessities and nourishment for our bodies, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, farm, fields, livestock, money, property, an upright spouse, upright children, upright members of the household, upright and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, decency, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Just in case he didn't already list about everything you could. With this, Luther argues that God provides for our needs. And our prayer is that we recognize what our daily bread is and we receive it with thanksgiving. When I meet with catechism students, the discussion sometimes turns to the odd things in the list. For those of us who live in the city, our farm may not be something we consider to be part of our daily bread, but we talk about what that means. The truth is that the list is bound by context. 21st century context is different from 16th century context. So what current readers must do is recognize how to translate, at least by analogy, between the two. Matt Skinner suggests in his discussion of the Acts readings throughout the Easter season that there is a central question that the early church was having to answer. In fact, even today, the church is having to answer this same question. The question is this: what does the resurrection make possible? The answer is pretty surprising, especially in the first century world. And it should still be surprising. In fact, the conflict between Peter and Paul, between the leadership in Jerusalem and Damascus, between those who wish to demand that the followers of Jesus convert to Judaism first, and those who see Jesus as opening the door without such adherence to the heritage faith tradition and law. Well, those conflicts in one way or another are still afoot in the church today. On this second Sunday of Easter, the church hears the second articulation of the community of believers living together in harmony. The first one is in the second chapter of Acts. You may remember it at the end of that Pentecost day. And in that first one, the Holy Spirit pulls the faithful together in worship and learning and sharing and, well, service. In this telling, the work of the Holy Spirit is about belonging. Skinner reminds us that Acts continues to articulate the nature of relationship among the faithful in Jerusalem. They are devoted to one another. They are devoted to one another, heart and soul. In the ancient world, groups developed a sense of interdependent identity. And in the church's hearing today, the people of the early church so identified with one another that they sold their belongings and shared everything in common for the sake of identity, of identification, for the sake of everyone being able to survive. Members willingly sold their belongings for the sake of all. Skinner suggests that indeed we hear some of the more prosperous members of the church sold their homes and their land and support their sibling Christ followers. The apostles are entrusted then with the proceeds. In this, these people are not merely redistributing wealth. Those who were in positions of wealth were handing over their status. They were handing over their privilege. They were handing over their security. The community that came out of that thrives through this sharing. Now, Skinner does acknowledge that the authors note that no one claimed private ownership of any possessions is perhaps hyperbole. The point is that everyone participates. Everyone identifies with the community. Everyone belongs. And so, What does the resurrection make possible? First, community. Second, mutual care. And finally, ultimately, the resurrection makes possible mutual identity. As this congregation moves into a new hybrid reality for worship, where some are in seat and many are, well, joining, mediated through technology, the questions before St. Andrew's are ultimately similar. How will St. Andrew's build community in the new and emerging 21st century reality, in what we hope to be the post-pandemic reality? How will St. Andrew's exercise mutual care in this time? How will St. Andrew's offer a place where everyone may grow into a deeply rooted and shared identity in Christ? One answer is emerging from the search team that has been exploring the nature and ministry definition for what was initially defined as a ministry assistant. That team has become convinced that mutual identity, mutual care, mutual community is core to the formation process. And one way that they put it is this: St. Andrew's will grow toward intentional models of cross-generational ministry to affirm and include people of all ages in faith formation and all aspects of congregational ministry. The long-term hope is to form relationships with Christ Jesus and with one another that honor people of all ages and invite crossing traditional divisions among Sunday school, youth ministry, well, and adult education. What would it mean for each participant in St. Andrew's mutual life to so deeply care for and identify with others of all ages, all identities, all social and economic locations, that they truly seek a common identity in Christ Jesus? Certainly, it might mean some will need to set aside their status, their privilege, their security for the sake of others, so that everyone can survive. It may mean that some will need to honor the old hymns and songs that, well, they consider boring, even as others will need to embrace newer music because it speaks to others in the community. It may mean that learning will become less, well, siloed among Sunday school and youth ministry and adult education, with the whole community coming together for discussions across generational lines, perspectives, and experiences. It may mean that the quiet play area moves inside the worship space, suggesting that all of God's children do have a place at the big people's table of word and sacrament. It might mean a whole lot of things. What it does mean is that in Jesus and through the waters of baptism, everyone already shares this identity. Everything else is in response to these great gifts.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.